Janis Joplin grew up in Port Arthur, Texas. It was a tiny conservative town where she never really felt at home. But the rock and roll world may owe Port Arthur a thank you. When Joplin was a teenager, she left Texas for San Francisco. She made a name for herself there as the first woman rocker with Big Brother and the Holding Company. Amy McCormick and Andra Mitrovich think of Janis Joplin as a close friend. Together, they've spent years touring the country in the two-woman play Love, Janis. Amy McCormick interprets actual letters Joplin wrote, and Andra Mitrovich plays the singer with guitarist John Nichols. Mitrovich told Steve Paulson that what really amazed people about Joplin wasn't her voice and the way she borrowed from the blues. It was the color of her skin.
You know, when she went overseas to like Germany and London and all those places, you have people saying, this is wild. You know, there's a white woman and she's singing the blues like a black lady, you know, like a black person. I mean, the soulfulness of her voice, you know, and it wasn't really about how she sounded. It was how she was feeling and she let it go. You know, she opened up her soul a lot, which isn't easy. She even says it, you know, Amy says it in the play. The problem with white people is we don't allow ourselves to feel things. That's, you know, soul. There's no patent on soul, you know. And so she opened up and bled for us and made us believe that it's okay, you know, to be free and to sing how you're feeling.
Now, it's worth pointing out that Janis Joplin is from Port Arthur, Texas, which is a pretty small place, and she had a hard time there, which partly explains why she became the person she did. But why did she feel the need to rebel against Port Arthur?
Well, I think everybody, you know, I think that when you live in a small town and you're an artist or you're a creative person, you're labeled a freak.
And there's something that, there's something particularly about Texas where people don't see outside of Texas. It is its own country in a way.
At that time, rock and roll was considered a man's industry. What was Janis Joplin up against?
Oh, well...
Well, can
speaking
you think
as
of any
a woman,
other...
I mean, it's a man's world, baby, and it always will be. Seriously, I mean, you know, back then, women were supposed to be barefoot, pregnant, and, you know, and be married, and she wasn't. So when she was doing her music, it was a struggle. You know, you got cats out there playing guitar and drumming, and, you know, they've got their own idea of how music should sound. And all of a sudden, here's this woman from Texas who was not shy about saying anything.
And yeah, let's face it, men have never known how to deal with women's emotions.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, she would go from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs in a split second.
You know,
and back down again. So as far as dealing with, you know, being in a man's world, she surrounded herself with men. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. I mean, she was still trying to find her place and failing at it, you know. I mean, not really. She was finding her place, but she wasn't realizing it until the very end that she had found her place, which is really quite amazing. I think that happens to a lot of people, you know, when death is knocking at your door and you haven't recognized the knock. When you finally do, it happens. It's very strange. All of her rough edges were definitely rounded at the end. I think she was figuring it out and realizing what was most important, and that was love, you know? Hmm.
Andrea, you do one of her songs in your show, Me and Bobby McGee, written by Kris Kristofferson.
Absolutely.
Could you do that for us?
Oh, I would love to. I never get tired of... singing these songs. It's funny, people ask me, they're like, so, are you sick of doing Love, Janis yet? I mean, I've been doing it for 5 years. I'm like, nope. It's the gospel, baby. Busted flat in Baton Rouge, was waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed the diesel down just before it rained, wrote a song all the way to New Orleans. Well, I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana, and I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues loud. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine, and we sang every song that driver knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing ain't worth nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, and Feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby McGee. From the Kentucky coal mines to the California sun, yeah, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather and everything that we've done, so Bobby, baby, kept me from this cold world. Now one day up near Selena's lawn, I let him slip away. Well, he's looking for that home, and I'll be fine. 'Cause I would trade all of my tomorrows for one single yesterday to be holding Bobby's body next to mine. Freedom's just another word. Oh, nothing left to lose. Nothing. Honey, nothing, honey, if it ain't free. But, yeah, feeling gone was easy long hard when we sang the blues. Feeling good was good enough for me. Mm-hmm. Good enough for me and my Bobby. La-da-da, la-da-da, yeah, la-da-da.
I think what you're saying sheds a lot of light on what happened to Janis Joplin. I mean, why she flamed out at the end. I mean, you're really, mm-hmm. you're suggesting that it was just too much to put it all out there. That, I mean, I don't want to make excuses for her, but there are reasons why she ended up killing herself with drugs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, being creative and being an artist, I think, is a really difficult role, you know? I mean, because you're always trying to... You're always trying to be truthful and honest, and sometimes they don't, they, meaning, you know, the powers that be that are outside cheering you on, sometimes they don't, pardon
me. Oh, boy.
Sometimes they don't want you to be better. You know, they want you to be what you put in that can, you know, what you put on that record. They want to hear that all the time. They don't want. Sometimes I don't think they want you to grow. And if you do, you have to be extremely better than what you are. You can't just, you know, go along with your life and decide, oh, I think I'm going to sing opera today. You know, I mean, I've been singing blues all my life, but I, you know, this interests me over here. People are going to ridicule you and go, what the hell are you doing? And I think that's what's really difficult for artists and creative people. And that's what was difficult for her. You know, she wanted to go out there and she wanted to do something new. And the second that she did it, they didn't understand it. And they told her that she sucked, you know. And she even makes a mention in the end. She's like, I'm not getting up here and singing Down on Me when I'm 80 years old. And, you know, unfortunately, she's not up here doing Down on Me because she's, you know, didn't make it to 80. But that, yeah. That was her journey. I think she taught us a lot. I really do. It is. It's. I don't even know where my thoughts just went. I'm just. I get so emotional sometimes, because I just feel like, you know, for me, my life is. It was. It's pretty linear to hers. Only, I didn't die in the end. I mean, I was one of the lucky ones. I was really one of the lucky ones. I'm not saying my life was stellar and that I didn't touch drugs and I didn't drink, you know, but I made it through, and probably because of her. Most likely.
There's a letter that she wrote right near the end of her life that I know is part of your performance. Amy, could you give us your rendition of that?
January 1970. Dear family, I managed to pass my 27th birthday without really feeling it. Ah, such a funny game. When you're nobody and poor, you don't care. You can just drift. But when you get a little position and a little money, you start really hustling to get more. And then when you're numero uno, you have to really break ass so nobody catches you. Catches you. Man, 2 years ago, I didn't even want to be it. No, that's not true. I've been looking around, and I noticed something. After you reach a certain level of talent, and quite a few have that talent, the deciding factor is ambition, or as I see it, how much you really need. Need to be loved, and need to be proud of yourself. I guess that's what ambition is. It's not all a depraved quest for position, Mike, or money. Maybe it's for love. Lots of love. Ha! Oh, Linda Waldron and her 2-year-old daughter stayed with me for a week. First time I'd spent that much time around a young kid, it nearly drove me crazy. I sure am glad I can sing. I'd make a lousy wife and mother. Well, I wouldn't be too bad, actually. My piano teacher just arrived. I've got to go. All my love. And thank you for calling.
It's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. And she was a smart woman, you know. And I think but by 1970, her realization of what she was doing, you know, and what ambition was, her need for love, that's deep.
Amy McCormick and Andra Mitrovich star in the two-woman play Love, Janice. Steve Paulson spoke with them. Take it!